All right. You're listening to Green Left Radio. And on the line, we have Sol Salbi, who is a long-time member of the Jewish community in Melbourne and also a long-time activist. And we have him on the line on our program today to actually talk about the kind of state of kind of Israeli politics, which is sort of something that doesn't necessarily get covered in the media much, especially within left media. And we, and of course they just recently kind of had elections in March. So yeah, good morning, Sol.
Good morning. You seem to have an echo.
You should be able to.
That's me. It's Zane as well as Jacob.
Oh, sorry. I forgot to put Zane Singh on. That's why there was an echo. So I guess to kind of, start off, before I guess we talk about the kind of implications, I guess, of the recent elections in Israel that happened in March this year, I guess I want to see, just for listeners' information, what can you, I guess, tell us about the background of Israeli politics? And I guess, what are sort of some of the sort of driving sort of issues, that sort of is in the background for a lot of Israeli politics?
Well, as you can tell by my accent, I was actually born there and lived there for the first 16 years of my life before actually heading to Sydney. So I've only been in Melbourne since 1976, but for somebody who's an old lot, not that long ago. Anyhow, the main thing about Israeli politics is it doesn't fit any molds. It doesn't fit. A lot of people think of Israel, they have an Israel in their head. It's a very weird country politically, in the sense that, just to give you one example, in Australia you can look at the very left-wing parties like Socialist Alternatives, then the Greens, then the Labour Party, which is a left-wing and a right-wing, then the Liberals and the Nationals and all the others. But, and you can think, if somebody tells you their politics, you can usually guess where they fit. In Israel, it's a lot more diffuse. People are all over the place because what holds the country is often tribal allegiance. People are not rusted on to their political parties. Therefore, people outside often get it wrong when trying to work out what's happening there.
And I guess, what can you tell us about the results, I guess, of the Israel elections? There's been a lot of, talk in the media, especially since Benjamin Netanyahu, who's kind of been the steward of, Israeli politics and kind of like the face of it, and he's now been actually replaced by a new prime minister called Naftali Bennett, or if I'm pronouncing his first name correctly, although you can probably correct me. And, yeah, what can you, I guess, tell us about the recent sort of Israeli elections and the implications there?
Well, the first thing to notice is that Israel didn't have one set of election. It had basically four in a row with just over about 6 months between them. In fact, I was there 2 years ago in September, and they're already having, I was there from July to September, and they were having their second round, but they had the third and fourth round. The main thing that happened is that nothing happened. The changes were minute, because in Israel, you look at the two blocks, the ones who were for Netanyahu and they were against Netanyahu. And in all of them, basically what happened was that the Netanyahu forces didn't have the numbers. So, and they had to do all sort of tricks to keep on going. And even in this one, neither side managed to get a majority. The reason neither side couldn't get a majority is Israel, until this time, was such a racist country that the Arabs, the Palestinian Arabs, who in the previous election had 15 out of 120 were not counted. So you can imagine if the Jewish population is split roughly 50-50 and you take 15 of 120 out, there's no way either side can have a majority. And it was actually amusing to see that Netanyahu suggested working with one of the Arab parties. But of course, once he made it, if you pardon the expression, kosher or halal, and okay, and give them a certificate of approval to work with the Palestinian party, then the other side did exactly the same thing and managed to form an alliance which had a majority. And Naftali Bennett, Bennett is a very English name, his parents changed it in the United States, so it's an American name, even though nobody in his family has ever been born in the United States, to the best of my knowledge. So they managed to form a government which is held by one external force only, the fear of Netanyahu.
And I guess, before I go into the kind of next question I was planning on kind of ask you, I just want to find out a bit of a kind of elaboration on this. And this is just something I sort of observed in some of the kind of media kind of discourse around Israeli politics. But Benjamin Netanyahu, was sort of like the subject, of all these kind of scandals or corruption sort of accusations. And in fact, I've sort of almost heard that, there were some sort of memes I saw posted that sort of implied this, that Benjamin Netanyahu was, he was losing popularity and legitimacy because of this sort of particular kind of accusations, of corruption. And I guess I want to hear your side on, what is actually kind of what was actually kind of happening there.
Well, what happened was that he wasn't losing so much support amongst his own supporters, but the other side became so the mass movement that developed because of the corruption managed to coalesce all his opponents from the left and the right to form a government. I just can't imagine, or any Australian example, if One Nation and Socialist Alliance and the group, well, forget about Socialist Alliance, but One Nation and the Greens and the Labour Party all coalesced against somebody like, say, Tony Abbott, because they found a particular aspect so opposing that they all combine against him. And that's what happened, is that parties to the right of the Likud, and Bennett is definitely more right-wing than Netanyahu, combined with people who would fit very nicely in sections of the Green or the left wing of the Labour Party, just to get rid of him. It became almost a national obsession for so many people, and it forced all those people to coalesce together. And I keep on telling people that if Netanyahu, or Bibi, if you want to call him by a short nickname, if he was to die from the coronavirus tomorrow, the government will fall, because that's the only... The fear that he will come back is the only thing that holds this government from all sorts of angles together.
And I guess, because you mentioned, the left-wing kind of parties, and I guess that brings me into kind of the question, what is, the kind of state, of left-wing parties in Israel? Especially, a common observation about Israeli politics, this comes from, my own observations as well, is that it is overwhelmingly, right-wing, especially in the context of the occupation of Palestine. But, of course, there's also little space for the left, including, I guess, the soft kind of non-socialist kind of left, like something equivalent to the Labour Party or even the Greens. So, yeah, I want to hear kind of some of your comments up there.
Well, basically, if you like it, Israeli politics, first of all, you have the Palestinian parties, which, of course, on the Palestine issue, tend to be or on the rights of Palestinian citizens of Israel, especially, not necessarily the rights of Palestinians in the occupied territories, are obviously more to the left than any other parties. So that includes the actual right wing on everything else, United Arab Party, which is now in the coalition, and their conservative Muslim party, but of course they look after the rights of their own members, who are often Bedouins and very oppressed sections of even within the Palestinian Arab community in Israel. Then you have the most left-wing party in the country is probably Balad, the Palestinian party, which is the one that has popularized the slogan of a state of all its citizens, which in Australia will be taken like nobody in Australia. If you say Australia should be the citizens of all Australians, nobody will say that you are left wing. I can imagine Pauline Hanson supporting it. But in Israel, it's an extreme left wing position that very few people support. Then you have Hadash, which is based on the Communist Party, with who not too good on Syria, but on almost everything else, they have very good policies. Then that's the first 10 members of the Knesset. Then you have the two sort of left, center-left people who would coalesce within the Labour and the Greens, and that Meretz, which is traditionally been a Zionist anti-occupation party. And because, as I said before, there are good people and bad people in almost every party, they have a person who are concerned to be, are considered to be a right-wing general amongst their members, but they also have Gabby Lasky, that people in Australia might recognize the name. She was the lawyer who acted for most Palestinians, including Ahed Tamimi, a very good human rights lawyer and an incredibly good record. And my friend Mossi Raz, who's also been at every demonstration and on almost all issues participating. So that at the moment, both those parties are talking about voting for this incredibly racist legislation that bans Palestinian Israelis from marrying people in the occupied territories and bringing them across. And they are going to do it on the condition that the Arab party is going to vote for it. So if there's one way to describe Israeli politics, it's mix and match.
And I guess the next kind of question I guess I want to go to, because you're making reference to, I guess, the whole Palestinian issue. And I guess, what can you tell us about how much does the question of Palestine, i.e. like the ongoing occupation and, I guess, all the kind of issues that kind of arise from that, how does it influence, I guess, the general kind of political landscape within Israel, especially in terms of attitudes, which you kind of alluded to, at the start in terms of your response to the kind of first kind of question?
Well, the way I would describe it is it has nothing to do with Israeli politics, and it has everything to do with Israeli politics at the very same time. It's a contradiction. On one hand, no problems in Israel, from the corona to the economy, to women's rights, can be separated from the Palestinian issue, because sooner or later it raises its head. It affects it. There was one, at the moment with the corona, if Palestinians are not vaccinated, it does reduce the effectiveness of the very high rate of vaccination, the highest in the world of any significant country, inside Israel itself. So you have every issue. But on day to day, when people decide which party they vote, it wasn't an election issue. It was hardly mentioned. And as I said before, you have people who are good on Palestine in several parties, and you have people who are bad on Palestine in several parties. It's not like in Australia where the political continuum from left to right is fairly straightforward. It's people jump all over the place, and Palestine it just doesn't get mentioned, but at the same time, as soon as you deal with the issue in depth, it raises its head. That's probably the best way I can phrase it.
And Zane wanted, I guess, the other presenter wanted to come in, I guess, with a question as well.
Yes, so we played an interview last week from Jeff Halper, and he was talking about the one-state solution and basically one state for all. And you've mentioned before this left-wing party, I didn't catch the name of them.
Meretz or Chadash or Balad?
Balad, and their policy of all citizens. Is that what that is a reference to?
No, this is actually even at a lower level. It's they're standing in an election in Israel, and of course the Palestinian outside cannot. But they are saying that Israel shouldn't describe itself as a Jewish state, but as an Israeli state, that all citizens have the same rights. And you can see at the moment with this this regulation that comes to renewal every year, and it's due to be renewed next month, where citizens of Israel, of course, who want to marry Palestinians, who tend to be Palestinians themselves, they cannot marry somebody in the occupied territories and bring them across, while every other Israeli citizen can do it. Mm-hmm. So another Arab and Knesset member from a different party, he says, Israel is democratic for Jews and Jewish for Arabs. Mm. And so Jewish for Palestinians. I mean, that's not the term he used, but that's the way I would say. So Balad saying, let's start, before we look at the occupied territories, we look at a foreign policy issue. Let's start by making everybody in the country equal. This is like a Martin Luther King type demand.
Hmm. And Jeff Halper, in his talk about a one-state solution, he says young people in Israel, this is the idea of one state for all, where Palestinians get to vote in Israeli elections, it just becomes one country, is quite radical to a lot of people. But Jeff Halper is saying to a lot of young people, it's not radical at all. It's like an obvious way forward and something they're very ready for. Are you able? Do you agree with that assessment? And what hope do you see for progressive change in Israel?
Well, at the moment, for many years, I keep on saying, for the last 30, 40, I keep on saying that each generation, each new year at school, is more right-wing than the previous one. There are demographic reasons as well as others, because who has more children and all that, and leftists tend to have fewer children. But the one thing I agree with Jeff is that a lot of young people, the people who can remember Israel before the occupation, are in their 60s. or even older. And so you have a situation that people who their parents grew up under the occupation and who take it for granted, but they say, until we fixed it, we can't move forward. And they don't have the pre-1967 fears of a weak small liver. So I would say that while I don't agree with Jeff's assessment, I think there is a potential there. And if anything would move, it would be the young people. But I don't see enough signs of it.
Well, that kind of goes into a kind of next question. This is sort of something you were kind of interested in, guessing, talking about when we were corresponding before the interview, is, I guess, talking, I guess, about this kind of question, I guess, of political attitudes of amongst the Jewish community, I guess, in both Australia and in Israel, and I guess in relation to kind of Israeli politics. And I guess there's almost like an argument, I guess, an assumption that, I guess, Israeli Jews all kind of uncritically back the government and identify with Zionism, I guess, you know, which has also led to some weird situations, like in recent developments where you had the case of the Israeli falafel shop in Brunswick being unfairly plastered as being apologists for the Israeli occupation. And I guess I want to sort of hear, because you've also made some observations of this on your Facebook about some of all these sort of dynamics that kind of relate to this. And I guess, what is some of your comments on some of these different sort of elements that, I guess, in play in terms of how, you know, Israelis relate to politics, especially, I guess, in Australia? And I guess, actually, before I get you to answer, there's also one other sort of thing I just remembered off the top of my head, but there was actually an interesting thing in Germany, but this is sort of relates to, I remember kind of hearing that even there's this whole kind of thing about anti-Semitism within Germany, that it's gone to such a sort of extreme, to the point where they even accuse Israeli Jews who are just who might not necessarily support Palestine at all, but just trying to organize kind of events that are kind of critical of the Israeli government, has also sort of created situations where there are accusations, I guess, of anti-Semitism thrown around. So yeah, that might have just put in, but maybe hopefully that all links with what the question I was sort of asking, and yeah, hear some of your comments on some of all those sort of different sort of elements.
Well, situation in Israel, as I said, it's very weird. And one of the things I would argue, because I spend a lot of time on Jewish discussion group, or at least one of them in Australia, is that most Australian Jews are not as aware of Israel as they think they are. In fact, the average Palestinian would be far more aware of the ins and outs of Israeli politics than the average member of the Melbourne Jewish community. And it's a guess, in Melbourne, the Israeli community, unless they are religious, is very, very distinct from the Jewish community. I mean, most of the Melbourne Jewish community, or a large proportion, live in a certain part of Melbourne around Eastern Kilda, Caulfield, that region, Elwood, etc. While the Israelis, I meet Israelis all over Melbourne. They're not particularly congregated in any area. And as a whole, Israelis in Australia have more or less more pro-Palestinian, or at least open-minded attitude than members of the Australian Jewish community. So that's one thing. I don't think there's a point in looking at the way Israeli Jews in Israel look at things, because they're different. I mean, you do get people who, a lot of them, have given up on Israel to come to Australia in the first place. Whether they are particularly political, I know there's at least a couple of other Jewish restaurants and Israeli restaurants that are run by a political one, unlike the one in Brunswick, which is run by somebody who's much more sympathetic to the Palestinians, as far as I know. But what we have at the moment in Melbourne, and that's what I was alluding on Facebook quite a few times, is a situation that there are some people, presumably on the left, and I assume they're not Palestinian, but of the rest of the Australian community, who have been targeting not only that falafel place, but other non-Zionist, and even there's an anti-Zionist, religiously anti-Zionist, educational institutions. They've been targeted with graffiti, and that almost verges on anti-Semitism. We attack people who have nothing to do with Israel, do not celebrate Israeli Independence Day, do not teach Israeli Hebrew. They don't do anything that would associate them with Israel. And to stick a free Palestine, as long as I support, of course, you know, to paint outside their school actually probably helps the other side more, because it allows them to see, they don't care if you're Zionist or not, they don't like Jews.
Oh, so apologies kind of Sol, but we probably might have to cut the interview a bit short. There was actually probably another question I wanted to get into, but unfortunately I don't think we have time now, because we've actually got to start another interview, I guess, in 3 minutes. So I'll just leave you, I guess, an opportunity to kind of make, I guess, any final comments. We've definitely found this a very interesting discussion, and really appreciate you being on our program. So, yeah, if you have any, I guess, final comments you would like to make.
Well, any comment I'll make would be by nature be very general, but I think people have to get used to the idea that when they hear something or see something about Israel, they need to process it according to the Israel which is on the planet, rather than the one in the head. That would be my most important rule, and I do recommend people follow my Facebook, where I do a lot of translation and commentary from a point of view which certainly does not support the Israeli government or the occupation, or and very positive towards a democratic solution for all the people of the area, from the river to the sea. The most important thing is to be informed and understand what's happening there, and rather than to fit old molds, whether they're from, like, old people like me from Vietnam or South Africa or Zimbabwe or Bangladesh, some of us even remember that struggle, or Timor, see that this one is a weird one and people need to keep up with it.
Right. Well, thank you very much, Sol. And, yeah, it's been definitely a very interesting kind of discussion. And, yeah, I've definitely sort of learned a lot of different kind of things about Israeli politics as a result of this discussion.
Yeah, thanks, Sol.
Okay. Thanks,
Sol. Right. We're just having a chat with Sol Salbi, a member of the Jewish community within Melbourne, and also a big observer of Israeli politics. And it's also been a long time activist for Palestine as well.
Amongst other progressive causes.
Yeah.
In this town, yeah.
Okay, so I'm just going to go play a quick announcement, and we're going to go on to our next interview for the program. You're listening to Green Left Radio.